It's the Book of the Month on Southside Broadcasting with Jenny Finch and a team of top writing talent.
December's Book of the Month is Sophie's Encore by Nikki Wells. Sophie's Encore is the concluding part of Nikki Wells' Rockstar Romance trilogy. Following on from the first two volumes, Sophie's Run and Sophie's Turn, the book takes the reader through the title character's life from tragedy to emotional resolution. The story is told almost exclusively from Sophie's point of view, allowing the reader an insight into her feelings, hopes, and fears. This gives an immediacy to the story that different viewpoints do not always deliver, though it can be a bit limiting in places, occasionally relegating other characters to minor players. Fortunately, Sophie is strong enough as a character to give the story a focus and to ensure the reader stays engaged as her life unfolds and threatens, in places, to unravel.
The morning proved to be exceptionally difficult. Initially, Emily revelled in having me all to herself. Even though this wasn't uncommon, Josh having attended play school most mornings anyway, for some reason, this morning was different. After she had been on all of the swings, down the slide several dozen times, on the seesaw and the rocking horse, consumed an ice cream and an orange juice, all in the record time of 45 minutes, Emily became restless and grumpy. The park was boring. She wanted her brother. She wanted to go to school like her brother. She went into full-scale meltdown when I pointed the stroller in the direction of our customary Monday morning mummy and toddler group, so I took her home instead. Feeling like an awful failure and a terrible parent, I installed her in front of CBeebies and made myself a cup of tea in the kitchen. When we picked up an exuberant Josh from school, bursting with excitement at all the fun new things he had tried out that morning, Emily's mood turned from disgruntled to stormy. "I want school! I want school!" was all she cried during the afternoon, and by 4 o'clock I was ready to shoot myself, figuratively speaking, of course. Dan came by at 5, as promised, to help us celebrate over dinner. He suggested pizza, but unexpectedly the kids protested. My little connoisseurs demanded Chinese instead. Dan was only too happy to oblige and took us into Chinatown to one of his favourite eateries tucked away behind Leicester Square. I was a little anxious at how the kids would fare in the unfamiliar environment, but given prawn crackers, prawn toast, egg-fried rice and noodles, they munched peacefully and left us adults alone to enjoy our own meals. "You look as though you needed a treat tonight," Dan murmured to me between courses. "Oh, God, yeah. Emily was driving me crazy," I confessed. "Suddenly I'm no longer enough. She wants what Josh wants. You should have heard her. It was like water torture. Drip, drip, drip." Looking angelic, and not at all like the little demon I had described, Emily nudged Dan and offered him some of her noodles. Dan immediately opened his mouth and let himself be fed, rolling his eyes and rubbing his stomach. "Emily, my pet, how come your dinner is always so much yummier than mine?" he complained. And Emily giggled without responding. Dan turned back to me. "Why don't you send her to play school?" To him, this was the obvious solution, and it had crossed my mind at least 100 times today, but she was still so young, just barely over 2 years old. "You're too hard on yourself," Dan chided. "I know you're proud to be a stay-at-home mum, but maybe Emily has different needs from Josh. She's seeing him having so much fun, so it's only natural she wants to do the same. A few mornings wouldn't hurt, would they?" "When did you become the expert on childcare?" I snapped, exasperated and bemused at his sudden insight in parent and child psychology. Dan raised his hand in a placating gesture. "I'm not the expert. I just hate to see you so torn. And I think you're too hard on yourself. It's not like you've had an easy ride these past few years. Perhaps you need a break. Perhaps you need a new beginning as well. Some time to do something for you."
The novel opens with Sophie coming to terms with the loss of her husband, Steve, a nurse who's died in a bomb blast. During her time of mourning, she's supported by Dan, an old friend who is the rock star of the series title. Their burgeoning romance is the main focus of this book, with Sophie gradually being drawn into Dan's world of music and performance. Although she begins the book firmly in the domestic arena, Sophie has the opportunity to learn new skills in the recording studio, helping to develop the musical sounds of Dan's band and experiencing some of the pressures of his life.
In this manner, I had had no opportunity to talk with Dan privately. 4 days wasn't a terribly long time in the grand scheme of things, but they had been so fraught, so busy with dividing my time between the hospital and the kids, so up and down with Dan's fever rising and falling, but generally refusing to yield completely to the medication, that my rediscovered love for Dan had taken a back seat. Where I had longed to burst out with a realisation on first seeing him again, that moment had passed, and I didn't know how to broach the subject, whether to broach the subject. So I was unsurprisingly a little tongue-tied when, on the morning of the Friday after Dan had first been admitted with pneumonia, I suddenly found myself alone with my rock star. "Morning," he greeted me with a strong and almost cheerful voice. His bed was raised and he was sitting up, reclining regally against a pile of cushions and finishing up his breakfast. For the first time there was a little colour in his cheeks, and it wasn't the unnatural glow of a high fever. His eyes were sparkling, and his hair was freshly washed. The improvement was so marked, and so sudden, that it was a lot to take in. "Morning," I mumbled back, retrieving into the visitor's chair and sitting down. "You look so much better." Suddenly I noticed the biggest tell of all. "Your drip's gone." Dan grinned and wriggled his unencumbered right hand. "It certainly is. My, what a relief. Fancy a hug?" He held out both arms and I rose to let myself be enveloped in a clumsy hug. It felt good. Without noticing, I closed my eyes and breathed in deeply. How I had missed him. Dan let me go and held me at arm's length. "Are you all right? You look like you've seen a ghost." "I'm fine," I responded automatically. "Fine. I'm just so happy that you're on the mend. You gave me such a fright." I made to sit back on the designated chair, but Dan patted his bedside. "Please, sit here. I can't bear you being so far away. Plus," he flashed a cheeky grin, "I'm supposed to rest my voice, so I mustn't talk loudly. Much easier, therefore, if you sit here, close." By golly, he was recovering fast. I nudged him gently on the shoulder, but obligingly sat on the bed. Dan took my hand. "I'm sorry I gave you such a fright," he said. "I didn't mean to." "What happened?" The long overdue question came out before I could hold it back again. "What happened at that party that night?" Dan's face fell. I don't really remember. I wasn't feeling too good, and..." He paused, gathering his thoughts. "I know you weren't feeling good. You looked as though you had a fever when you left my house." "I should never have let you go," I mused. "I feel bad." "Please don't," Dan objected. "It's not your fault. I would have gone even if you'd begged me not to. It was a big deal. I couldn't just bail. You know I've done whole concerts with ear infections and some such. Doing a few songs with a small fever didn't seem unreasonable. And yet, you ended up collapsing on my landing," I pointed out. "There was more going on than a small fever." "But I didn't know that when I left, did I?" "So what happened?" I prompted again. I was like a dog with a bone. I had to know. This was the right time. "You did the show and..." Dan let go of my hands. He was becoming agitated and laced his fingers together, clenching them into a tight heap of digits. The gesture almost resembled a prayer. "I did the show, and things looked up for a while. Songs went down well, and I came off on a real high. Jack introduced us all to the audience, as if they didn't know us, and we had to mingle. I had a beer. You know how I like a beer." I grinned. "I didn't want to, but I did." "I know how you like beer," I concurred. "But there was more, right?" Dan shot me a rueful look. "You're like the Spanish Inquisition this morning." "You turned up in my house with a bottle of ease. Of course I'm like the Spanish Inquisition. Oops." My accusation came out sounding harsh and bitter, surprising me as much as Dan. He looked as if I had hit him. He said nothing for a moment, and I held my breath. I hadn't meant to confront him this way. I had hoped he would tell me on his own, but I had jumped the gun, and now the statement was out there, hanging between us like an ice-cold dagger. "Oh, God, I'm so sorry," Dan finally uttered. I wasn't with it anymore. I knew I was in deep, and I needed help, and you were the only place I could turn to." I took his hand. Rage and fury notwithstanding, it hurt to see him so torn up. "And you should have come to my house. I'm so grateful that you did. If you'd gone to your house, on your own..." That desperate scenario had played in my head 1,000 times, and I couldn't bear to think about it. It hadn't happened, thankfully. I snapped to. "I'm angry because you took drugs," I clarified.
"Of course. Life does not go smoothly for Sophie and Dan, and their budding relationship is threatened by events as Dan begins to succumb to the strains surrounding his chosen lifestyle. The book combines a lot of detail from Sophie's everyday life, her responsibilities, raising her 2 children, and daily living, but also looks at some of the bigger issues affecting society. Drug taking and the effect of grief are examined from the perspective of family life. A useful reminder that the impact of these events is often as great on those around as the person directly affected. How Sophie and Dan adjust to the changes in their lives and the compromises needed on both sides give an interesting and well-drawn snapshot of modern family life, and the family, especially Sophie's children, is one of the main themes of the novel. At heart, this is a genre novel, firmly of the chick lit variety, as the on-off romance between Sophie and Dan forms the core of the story, and everything else provides the conflict, uncertainty, and background to this. Readers coming to this novel first may find some of the text a little confusing, as there are some assumptions on the part of the author. Writing a series and accommodating both new and returning readers is one of the biggest challenges a writer can face, but overall Nikki Wells does quite well with this aspect of the story. Readers will be pleased to hear that it does have a real ending too. No more waiting and wondering whether Sophie and Dan finally make it as a couple. This final book of the trilogy delivers a proper answer.
With a high-spec accommodation, all with ensuite facilities and high-quality care for residents provided 24/7 by qualified nurses and carers, Roseville Care Centre provides the perfect home for its residents' emotional, spiritual, social, physical and intellectual needs.
A purpose-built residential care facility in the heart of Ingleby Barwick, Roseville is a care centre which provides facilities to accommodate residential nursing and dementia service users, offering both short and long stay accommodation, as well as respite and daycare.
To find out more, please telephone 01642 30 81 88 or email us at roseville@prestigegroup.uk.com.
Roseville Care Centre. Care to call
from
us
Airwolf,
home.
Magnum PI, and St. Elsewhere, Native Voices and Days of Our Lives, this is Jean Bruce Scott congratulating you on your excellent taste for choosing this station and podcast.
Lincoln Inspired is more than just an arts festival, more than a literary festival, more than a whole set of lifestyle opportunities, and more than what the world has needed for millennia.
To see just how much more Lincoln Inspired can make you, go to lincolninspired.co.uk and explore the inspiration.
Parkville is a purpose-built residential care centre situated at the heart of Middlesbrough and providing personalised care in a modern and homely environment. Parkville aims to help older people to continue to live independent and active lives within the wider community whilst benefiting from the care and support of an experienced and dedicated team of nursing and care staff. At Parkville, we provide facilities to accommodate residential elderly and residential EMI service users. To find out more, please telephone 01642 223334. That's 01642 223334. Parkville Care Centre. Care to call us home.
Strokes affect 130,000 people in England and Wales each year. Here's a recipe that can dramatically decrease your chances of strokes.
Excellent. I better get a pen.
167 grams of calcium.
Hang on. Slow down. One tablespoon.
Remember, any more than one tablespoon could kill you. Any less than one tablespoon could kill you.
Right, what was
and
the recipe?
That's the recipe.
Oh,
if
damn.
You would like a more simple solution, you can always call Pharma Nord on 01670 519989.
All right.
Or visit the website pharmanord.co.uk.
Let me see if I can jot that down. What was the number again?
01670 519989. Or visit the website pharmanord.co.uk.
And how do you spell Pharma Nord, I wonder?
P-H-A-R-M-A www.radiomerseyside.co.uk.
It's almost as if I'm having a conversation with the radio.
Don't be silly, that's impossible.
Farmer Nord, winning the war of nutrition.
You're listening to a Southside Broadcasting podcast. Southside Broadcasting is a media company which aims to provide a wide range of features from the rural, health and lifestyle worlds. You can regularly listen to entertaining podcasts with interviews and correspondence from Los Angeles, Nashville, New York and London. You can take part in our Book of the Month features, grab some great nutritional advice, enjoy broadcasts from the Great Yorkshire Show, the Lincolnshire Show, and enjoy local football reviews with our regular feature, Fly Me to the Moon. You can even hear a BAFTA award-winning director drive a train full of teddy bears. You can listen to these and many more podcasts at southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com. For further information on how you can join over 35,000 people who regularly download our podcasts, call us on 01642 854 742 or email info@southsidebroadcasting.com now.
Parkville is a purpose-built residential and nursing care centre situated at the heart of Middlesbrough, providing personalised care in a modern and homely environment. Parkville aims to help older people to continue to live independent and active lives within the wider community whilst benefiting from the care and support of an experienced and dedicated team of nursing and care staff. At Parkville, we provide facilities to accommodate residential, nursing and dementia service users. To find out more, please telephone 01642 22 33 34. That's 01642 22 33 34. Parkville Care Centre. Care to call us home.
It's the Book of the Month on Southside Broadcasting with Jenny Finch, Rob Nichols, Jill Prowse and a host of points to ponder.
So, as is often the case when we have our review team from the Book of the Month Club on the case, so to speak, we often have to do a telephonic connection with them and just do a little prereq in terms of how things have worked through. And that's the case with the legend that is Jill Prowse. How are you, Jill? Are you keeping
I'm
well?
Well, thanks, Alex.
Good. Okay, so here we are, the third in the trilogy. So not one of those trilogies which we started off with the first one. And then how does it end? How does it work through this? This was very much the wrap-up of the Rockstar Romance Trilogy. What did you make of Nikki Wells' opus?
I think it's light-hearted. It's a bit of fun, romantic, very frivolous. You don't have to think too hard. And, you know, it's sort of a bit of fun to read. Lots of romance. Lots of sort of just nice and happy. A happy read, really.
When you say happy read, is that a kind of slight sort of alternative saying, well, it's not hugely engaging? I mean, how did you find the characters of Sophie and Dan Hunter that sort of dig a little bit deeper?
Well, I have to say, it's not my kind of book normally. I think it would have been better had I read the first two. But I still enjoyed the sort of, it was very light-hearted. Didn't mind Sophie. She's sort of a bit gritty, but obviously been through an awful lot in the first two books. Dan seems just too perfect to be true, really, but then you find out he's not quite so perfect, so at least there's something there to make him a bit more realistic. And just a nice story, really. Nice ending.
Now, there is actually, without giving too much away, but there's a kind of real-life relevance here, because, of course, you are married to a former rock star who's now, of course, a teacher. I think you should share this, Jill, it's just in terms of this.
Oh, he'd love you. I think he'd really enjoy the fact that you called him a former rock star there. But, yes, he was in a band. He was a bass guitarist, he went on tours and did lots of things. I don't think he was ever naughty or did anything that he shouldn't have, but who knows? And he's a lovely teacher now.
I think we need to give a name check to this wonderful person as well, actually. So it is Gary, of course.
Gary Pouse, yes.
That's right. And the band he was in?
It was Shy Reptiles. You can still go on YouTube and see bits of it.
So I'm thinking Shy Reptiles versus Tusk. Tusk, Shy Reptiles. There could be a sort of a renewal conference developed on this sort of basis. Were there any areas where you feel... because you raised an interesting point there, Jill, about you wish you'd read the first two. Does that mean you might be looking to check out the first two online?
I don't know. As I say, it's not the kind of book I would normally read. It's the first time as well. It was a first for me because I downloaded it onto my Kindle.
Mm.
And I've never read a book on a Kindle before.
Yeah.
So it was a first for me reading it that way. I thought it was quite good, actually. I probably won't read the first two, if I'm absolutely honest.
Yeah.
But had I read the first two, I'm sure the third one might have had a bit more entertainment value for me. Yeah.
A kind of synchronicity, because I actually read the first one on the Kindle, not the device, but on my laptop, so that was Sophie's turn. And obviously, as I said, clearly I've sort of gone on record as saying that I thought this was an interesting piece in all sorts of ways. In fact, yes, as I quoted as saying, a clear winner in the actual line itself. So, marks out of 10 then, Jill. What would you actually say? And in fact, just before that, did you find that, as it was your first time reading a book on Kindle, did it improve, did it enhance the experience, or was it okay, so you still prefer the physicality of books?
I still like a book. I still like to feel the pages. If I go to the library, I like to smell of a book. But I must admit, I can see the advantage for somebody perhaps who may have problems with their sight, because obviously you can make the text so much larger. It's very easy to read, much sort of easier than because I've never used that sort of medium before, and it is very easy just to whiz through the pages and read. And I can see the advantage if you're on holiday or something like that, not having to worry about a book getting wet or dirty with sand or anything like that. So, yeah, it is something I would do again.
Okay, so critical question then. What are your marks out of 10 for the third in the Rockstar Romance Trilogy? That, of course, is Sophie's Encore.
I'm going to give it a 7.
Okay, well, online, also online, because it's been juggling all sorts of technical things around today, but I think she did extraordinarily well, of course, our host of Book of the Month, that's Jenny Finch. Jenny, why are you telephonically connected as opposed to being in the studio? Because this is going to generate huge amounts of sympathy.
Yes, I've broken my little toe on my right foot, and I've been told I can't drive because I'm not insured.
Absolutely, it's never mind, as long as you're sort of taking care, and I think you managed to sort of hold the thing together. So we heard Jill Prowse's views there. In the studio we got Rob Nichols. Rob,
hello.
As a rock star, because obviously
rock star.
Jill Prowse marries to a rock star, and you indeed are, you know, with the fabulous band Shrug.
Not a stadium rocker, though.
No.
And this was very much a stadium rocker setup.
Based probably loosely on John Bon Jovi, or a slightly more polite film of John Bon Jovi.
That sort of thing, yeah.
I think that was the line. What did you make of Sophie's Encore?
It was interesting. I did quite enjoy it. I was going to say that the domestic parts in the London sort of living reminded me a little bit of parts of a Nick Hornby book, just the sort of settings of North London or whatever. As has been said, it was an interesting to investigate somebody. Well, it's quite sad, somebody who's had a tragedy, an unexpected tragedy in their life, and how it affected them and the children and everybody around, and how everybody was trying to coax her back into the living world, but not trying to push her too quickly. So it was an interesting thing, and I was quite surprised at the detail of when Sophie goes into the recording studio. There's an awful lot of detail there about her as she becomes an engineer.
I'll give a special reveal away here. I was actually asked to give some advice on that, and initially that was one of the points I made, that really it was almost too detailed. I mean, Nikki is an author who really likes to go into her research
with
general routines, so she spent time obviously with her sister station Siren FM, and she said, is this right, is this appropriate, can we talk about the level, etc. I think she was very concerned that she got it absolutely right, which is to her credit, really.
Yeah, absolutely, it's well beyond anything I would understand.
And you're a musician, so there we are. Did you actually produce yourself for the recording side of things, or did you just go in there and do the
No,
music?
I remember getting asked to produce other people, and I thought, they don't really understand that. I don't have a clue. But no, that was interesting.
Honesty.
Yeah, yeah. It was interesting from that point of view, actually, because there is a lot of, as you say, a lot of detail, and a lot of research has gone into that, and it was a good story. There was one page, I think, it was about the 100th page, where I thought, oh no, the romance is going to be, well, it's going to go into an area that I don't really want to read about. But, and I was a bit scared about that for the bit, but that didn't really come up again, fortunately.
Very good, very good. I appreciate that. Jenny, obviously completely different from the material you've produced in terms of, obviously, the adventures of Death of the Elvermen and the Drowners and so on. But as you said, chick lit, how did you find the whole experience of Sophie's Encore?
It was a very pleasant story. It was an entertaining read. It was interesting to see that bit of daydreaming in there, the rock star following you around with hopeless puppy dog eyes. I think I agree with Jill that actually if I'd read the other two first, then it might have had a bit more bite to it, a bit more impact, because obviously a lot of stuff has happened, and how Sophie finishes up is going to be very much affected by how she began, and so I did lack that contrast to be able to compare it with.
I read the first one, actually, as Jill had done, as I mentioned, on a computer thingy, and I thought, well, it's okay of what it is. Oh, you see, even the doggies agree with that. It's fantastic. They're getting into the whole sequence as well.
Sorry about that.
Brilliant, you know, rock and roll, that's what I say. But then the second one, the Sophie's Run, which I thought was actually a lot grittier in so many ways, and I kind of tended to... Sophie's Encore, I thought, was good. Maybe, I think, yeah, they do fit well as a trilogy, and I gather that there won't be any more sort of tales of Dan Hunter or indeed Sophie Jones from that perspective. But, in fact, so having said that, she also produced Spirits of Christmas, which is a novella, a rock and roll Christmas carol, which is also available. So, we'll have to say hats off to Nikki Wells for a very prolific year. Two novels and a novella is not bad for 12 months, is it really?
It's not bad at all. It's very impressive, in fact.
So, good stuff there. Anyway, the time has come for us to actually sort of begin to give the scores on those. We've already heard from Jill, of course. I'm not sure what mark the dogs from Jenny Fincher are actually providing for us. I suspect it might have been a sort of high 7 or 8, but anyway, Rob, what's your score for...
I'm going to go for 7 as well.
7 for yourself, Rob, okay. And Jenny?
I agree, yes. I was impressed by some of the detail, but I think she hurried the epilogue at the end, and that's a shame.
Okay. As a managing editor at southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com is quoted as saying, Sophie's Encore is a riveting page-turner with a pace that throbs like the most potent rock ballad. I think I must have been on one when I was singing. I'm going to give it an 8, because I think it was good for that point of view. I think it was well put together and well structured, and of course available online, and you can always get the physical books as well from that point of view. That's Sophie's Encore. It's published by Sapphire Star Publishing, of course. SapphireStarPublishing.com is their web address, or indeed you can put the order in and go from there. It's the same thing with respect to Spirits of Christmas, and also NikkiWells.com is the go-to page if you want to find out more about some the fabulous things that Nikki's actually been doing. No doubt now with sort of a sort of 7, 7, 7, 7, 7?
Yeah.
They should get some sort of recompense and solidity from the many sort of bloggettes who have been taking part in, obviously, the launches of these books and various other bits and pieces. Next week, we return to another author that we visited a wee while ago with The Redbird Christmas. I was saying to Jill Appleton, actually, this was the second book ever in the Book of the Month piece that we actually did, and I thought Redbird Christmas was a phenomenal moving sort of text. But it's not Redbird Christmas, but although it is written by Fanny Flagg. What is it, Jenny?
It's fried green tomatoes at the Whistle Stop Cafe.
Or tomatoes.
You know. Or tomatoes. I'm not saying tomatoes on air.
Well, no. You just have. We hope the toe gets better very, very soon. I was going to ask you how had you coped in Saltburn with all the challenging weather conditions you'd had yesterday, because it took quite a battering with respect to, obviously, the big tidal surge I noticed last week.
It did indeed. I'm just going to have to hop to to it and get on.
Sorry, it's always on the case there, basically. Jenny Finch, we salute you, and I say more Book of the Month back in 2014, more excitement. So, I do like this, Rob, because, you know, the one thing, Jill, fantastic, we still, obviously, Young Person's Book of the Month is there, but
yes.
You've got to say, I mean, since Jenny has actually joined, it's been action-packed, you know, location reports
of
Kadeem, Broken Toes, it's all over the place.
It's all happening.
It's just like
get well soon.
One huge adventure.
Jenny Finch, author, creator of The Drowners and Death of the Elver Man, and general Renaissance woman, your host for the Book of the Month.